Well, it's been way too long since we have had our maestro of the media, McLuhan Scholar, and former member of the Solar Council, Bob Dobbs, on. We always, and I always love to check in because there is no other unique perspective, very graduated, very, you know, talking about postgraduate studies of the mechanisms of control, what this world is about, than to have on Bob and to try and figure out how all these pieces fit into his amazing tiny pie chart that explodes into so many dimensions. Mr. Dobbs,
hey.
So fantastic to have you back on KPFK. How are you?
Good morning, Evans. Great to be here, and you're right. I am a graduated process.
Yes, you are a graduated process. So true. Now I read that news story in the beginning to, in a sense, enlist us into a snapshot, the world of affairs now, as it relates to the four bodies. I don't know if we need to go back and to revisit exactly the basis of what you have been talking about for years now to get people to understand that you aren't just a physical body anymore.
Right.
Would you? Yeah.
We don't need to go back. We're always in the middle. We're always trying to get a view of the shape of these things. Mm-hmm. And so we just start groping our way out in a different way in the context of the news item you gave.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, so we begin with the fact that there's no verbs, there's no nouns, everything's disappeared, and we're one membrane, and it has no dimensions. So that's where we live. So some ways of saying that using English language would be, we're not even on the planet, we're not even in the galaxy, we're somewhere else. So therefore, there's no nations, and there's no worlds, there's no corporations, and there's very little nature. As categories, now, what do I mean? We have retrievals of these memories, which I call memes, which are effects of previous technological landscapes. So the nation was built by the printing press and the newspaper. The world movement, or what's called internationalism, was built by the radio and TV environment.
Yes.
Those separate media have melted into a seamless web of one membrane. So the content and spirals from the one membrane are these memes as hologramic memories to live in. And this means that the world government meme will continue to be refurnished, replenished, re-energized as a potential in contrast with the national government meme, which will continue to be repotentiated. So I'm saying that you'll never get rid of Canada and the United States and Mexico as memes, and they will always be in a symbiotic conflict and complementarity with world movements. Mm-hmm. Like you name one of the people was World Affairs Council.
Right.
Northern California or something.
Yes.
There's always going to be the memory of a movement to a world order, Bush's New World Order. It will always be frustrated by people's nostalgia for national entities and local retrieved entities by third world and fourth world cultures that have been long suppressed as the West dominated for 500 years, but are now retrieved as potential memories and memes in the global theater of archetypes and cliches, which is what we're experiencing constantly, all spinning out from the unmeasurable, unchartable membrane, permeating seamless membrane. So you'll have people take positions with the meme that they want to move into, but they are ready to graduate to another meme. So George Shultz, he reached the pinnacle of power in the Reagan years, right?
Right.
And then what did he do in the 90s? He went over to Bechtel, he dropped it, created the Heritage Institute, kept that going. He's the one who scouted George Bush, the president,
yes,
selected president, appointed president, whatever he is.
Right.
He's acting out the White House meme of the 19th century. And George Shultz was supposedly a factor in that. So George Bush goes around operating for the world order meme while interfacing with national government memes, mm-hmm, because he's graduated out of the national government scene, so he's in the world government meme, but he's still subservient to the solar government meme and to the fact that it's all disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So he has graduated. So you have people who do well in, we'll call it the yuppie scale. They do well in their corporations, their universities, their positions, their professional life. By the time they're 50, 55, they've got to move to another meme.
Right.
So they move toward world merger.
Like, what do you think Bill Clinton's doing?
He's working on the world merger.
He's doing a world
merger. You know, I mean, he goes around helping people, hurricane victims, tsunami victims, playing up the idea of I feel your pain on an international level. That's all he has to do.
Right.
He can drop back into the national level when his wife becomes president in 2009, right?
Right.
You know, it's quiet. Now we get into the quadriphenic and the juggling of your bodies. We all are pretending to be living in the United States. At the same time, we're interneting on a seamless web, which is like world government and beyond,
yes.
Which is the chip body.
Right.
And then you have other dimensions which are not perceived in Western chemical body terms. We'll call it the astral body. We get all kinds of inspirations in movies and magazines and seminars or traveling to other cultures and shaman worship or shaman studies. All that is activated. And how do you relate that to your national body? You leave the Amazon after doing your ayahuasca with the local shaman, and you fly back into Dulles Airport, and you hand over your little passport, right? You got a little national identity. And then you go back to L.A., and you get on the radio, and your show's on the Internet, and you're communicating all over the world.
Right.
And then you go to your chemical body job.
Right.
Okay, so you're juggling all these bodies and memes. That's what we're doing. Everybody's doing that.
Now, why is it then? Why the idea of if that things have disappeared when we are interacting with all of these bodies?
These bodies are memories and effects of previous actual technological landscapes when they were solid grounds.
Okay.
I mean, when Ben Franklin started the United States, it was based on the newspaper and the Bible and books.
Yeah.
That was a real environment. It was a hidden environment that was having effects on people, inspiring people with new notions and getting away from the European medieval constructs based on the manuscript culture. But then the United States had to confront the telegraph environment less than 100 years later. That created the American Civil War, because whenever you bring in a new technological communication environment, it will cause an identity crisis of the identity based on previous media of communication.
Yes.
So the electric simultaneity of the telegraph shocked the dimensions that have been established by the printing press.
Right.
And we've moved through technological environments since then. But what's interesting about the last 30 years is that all those previous massive media environments have been digitized and shrunk so that we now are superior to any major former media environments. But we need to recycle their memes to create economic exchange, what Jean Baudrillard calls the ecstasy of communication.
Right.
And so the juggling of these historical hereditary forms that are there, there's still tankers taking oil and moving around the planet and using it to run the electrical utilities and all the stuff that overlaps on that, we'll call it the 19th and early 20th century electronic body landscape.
Right.
But we have, on top of that, the nuclear power, and then we have these chip body relationships on the Internet, which are still run by oil at the base core, right?
Right.
But we do not see the oil. We do not think of that. We think of the effects of constantly listening to news, whatever station and level of demographic we pick. We're always feeling the need to know what's going on.
Right.
Well, what's going on? The tankers are still bringing the oil to us. But we don't think about it that way. We deal with what Art Bell said, or Rush Limbaugh, or Katie Couric, or Eben Ray, or me, or George Bush, or athletes and movie stars. All this pattern recognition that's dumped on people is what a lot of their mental activity is working on. Your relationship to these information patterns.
Right.
And so most people know and have to put up with this constant chatter in all the old former media, TV, radio, newspapers, and Internet, constantly being swirled about and people defining their opinions in relation to images that are always coming from other media. That takes a lot of psychic behavior. If you took someone from 100 years ago and plopped them down tonight in L.A., and they walked around or even had a Walkman or headphones or their Palm Pilot and were interacting with all this stuff, they would think that they were in an ayahuasca trip.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because I was just reading an article in the LA Times about there are, I believe, some Somalis that are getting ready to come to the United States. They got visas to come over, and they were bringing them and saying, this is a stove. This is how you turn it on. You have showers. Americans are freaky about taking showers, so it's good to take showers, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, even today, when you're talking about being saturated in the four bodies, these individuals coming out of Somalia to the U.S. are just learning about the real basics of modernity, about convenience, an environment of convenience or something.
Yeah, no, technological extensions and the basic hardware things like here's the stove, cook your food, you got to keep your chemical body going. So once they get that and have a familiarity with it, they'll say, well, what's that thing over there? And the guy said, well, it's a television. What do you do with that? Well, you turn it on and look, you're in New York or you're in L.A. and it's here in your room. And they ain't African. Who are these people? They don't look like you guys. And then they have to adjust their psyche to that.
Right.
So they go through the changes that America and the West went through for 150 years. They do it in 3 months, say. And that's going to create a weird situation. I think what it does, it creates a zombie. It creates someone who is walking around in what we almost say, and it doesn't mean it's not real, but the word hologram is what they're living. It's a real hologram, and they say, okay, I get to vote, I get to read newspapers, I send my kids to school, they learn how to read. And they're going through all those old media environments,
right,
not even knowing that the person they're voting for president does not live in the United States. Right. He lives in the chip body, and even off it, which we'll get into later, we don't know what Washington represents.
Right.
We know that it represents international TV bodies and chip body landscapes, not just local national stuff. But it will not get rid of the nation. And part of the reason we'll never get rid of our nations, even though it always seems that it's being eroded, and the reason it's always permanently, unstoppably being eroded, because it never existed. I won't say it never. It did exist, but it does not exist now. It's only a meme memory. It's like if in evolution, whoever created this earth, they created grass and mountain and trees and clouds and sun and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a process of interplay between them, and none of them dominates. You don't have sun forever. You don't have rain forever. You don't have grass forever. Mm-hmm. But you have the interplay of them. We have to look at the environments that we made technologically, which I call second nature. They don't go away, but right. They interrelate with other environments we made.
Right.
So the meme of literacy doesn't go away,
right.
But it certainly isn't ground. And so with this replay of memories and almost physical old environments that we interact with, the erosion seems imminent, and the resistance will always be there because the erosion is going to happen. So the world government will never get completely official. The national governments will never get retrieved, but never disappear. The only level of world government that will come in is about measurements and standards of industry for hardware technology, like matching up TV sets with the kind of computers they have in China. And so they'll probably move toward that hardware standardization, but the world psyche will never get imploded into that supposedly utopian situation or fearful situation, depending on who you are,
right,
of a totalitarian situation.
Right.
Any images, if we have already completely disappeared, then any apocalypse, any Holocaust, any Armageddon has already happened to our psyche. And so we have a replay of biblical apocalypses, Islamic apocalypses, Hopi apocalypses. They tell us what's going to happen. You know, white man's going to repent, get wiped out, and all that stuff. All these things are just potentialities. And you can begin to look at it like postmodern mathematics or postmodern quantum physics. These metaphors can be applied to the interplay of these factors of second nature.
Well, interesting that you're saying they're potentials. Now,
yeah, that's like they describe subatomic particles.
Right. Well, right. Exactly. They sit there in an inert stasis, and then depending on what energy is calling upon them, they can morph into that.
That's right. And then you get into string theory. Now, here's an interesting thing. Physics is based on the alphabet and numeracy.
Oh, you know what, dear? Before we go there, let me just take a quick break.
Yeah.
Keep that thought, Bob. Don't go anywhere. On the lines, Bob Dobbs, Media Maverick, website, www.fivebodied.com. FiveBodied.com, loves. This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Radio alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
All right, loves, we are back. Hey, coming up at the beginning of October is our winter, fall, end of something kind of fun drive. And we really hope that you guys come down and volunteer. I hope you're able to get excited about what we have here, help us raise funds so we don't have to be on for 2 or 3 weeks to raise it. We always appreciate your support. You know what we do with it. We make your money work. And so please be with us during this fun drive and help us keep free speech alive in this imploded, invisible environment. On the lines, Bob Dobbs joins us. It's been a while since we've had the Maverick on. I always love having him on. And so, Bob, you are getting ready to take off from the muon, from the subatomic particle.
Yeah, it's not just invisible, it's inaudible, this environment.
Oh.
Okay, so I was talking about how physics, I mean, the idea of atoms comes in with the Greek culture and the effect of the phonetic alphabet 2,500 years ago, with Thales and Parmenides and people like that. And then it disintegrates when you move into the Middle Ages and you don't have the phonetic alphabet as strong as an environment as it was during the Greek and Roman Empire, so went back into alchemy, the acoustic resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Then the printing press brought back Galileo and Newton and reemphasized the visual metaphor for matter. And so the numeracy and literacy and mathematics that comes out of the phonetic alphabet and the printing press, it then gets subsumed when the radio environment comes in, and the 1927 Copenhagen Conference, and Einstein and Heisenberg and the rest of them, they start saying there's something else going on. There's these things called electrons, and they operate in two places at the same time, and they started to lose the solidity of the Newtonian physics. All right?
Yes.
Now, what's just to move forward, we get into something called string theory, which has been around for about 30 years. And it's very controversial. It's become popular to be discussed, and it's kind of developed a meme status, and it's accepted. But the old quantum physicists and any other physicists who aren't string theorists say this is a ridiculous theory. There's no evidence. There's no experiment to back it up. But what's interesting, it's based on the idea of not a visual thing, visual particles or subatomic particles. It's based on resonating strings or resonating effects. In other words, it's acoustic. So now that we've gone into the tactile environment, which is all the senses, not visual or just acoustic, we've retrieved the acoustic effect of the radio and TV environment as a real ground for our physics, and now archetypalizes into the idea of resonant strings.
Okay.
And it is partly acceptable because people have been living with rock and roll for 50 years, and their perceptual experience is musical. It's not solid particles that people had 150 years ago when they read a book or read the newspaper. That created the effect of solid things, things you held, something you looked at. It asserted its hot, hard identity. But when you're experiencing music, you are the music. The boundaries melt. And so physics, which claims to be dealing with matter, subconsciously adopted the new matter of the new media, which
right.
was a new effect. We'll call it simply acoustic space, and they're starting to say, yeah, our matter is made of acoustic space, but you can't put it back into alphabetic or print-based visual mathematics. So they're stranded with a theory that everybody's kind of accepting, and kids are going to universities, they have to study string theory, it's because it's the fad meme, and yet nobody can anchor it in all previous visual space standards.
Interesting.
So there's an example of how models of physics change.
Right. Right. Let me ask you something. Might be a little bit off base, but I know you can go there and come back. But let me ask real quick. If let's say the population, like the baby boomers, if all those World War II generation, if they all somehow died, because Laurent was saying that one of the biggest, the biggest lobbies in the United States is AARP, the retired people. They read, they vote, and they are out there, you know, and so this generation.
They're propping up the national government meme that they
exactly,
grew up in.
Right, exactly. And so, a lot that we see in the U.S. are from these old folks that have this trajectory. So if they were to all disappear, what part of the Android meme and what bodies would not be supported because they aren't there to retrieve them?
The immigrants. The immigrants have not, from the third world, have not experienced visual space like we did under literate conditions for 200 or 300 years previous to 1900. And so what are the presidents and candidates doing? They're really gearing themselves to the Latino populations.
Right.
And people on different sides of the immigration debate say, well, the big corporations want these people to come in for cheap labor, and also the politicians want them in because it's a new bunch of naive people who believe there is an actual place called the United States. You have to realize that they live in very primitive environments compared to our multi-technological, multi-consciousness environment.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that we're superior. We just live in a wholly different complex situation.
Right.
And so it's like the Somalians. They're going to learn how to use a refrigerator.
Yeah.
These immigrants are coming here to get access to industry on any level of pay that they can get, so they can send it back home, and they believe in schools and books, and you could not tell them, no, we're getting rid of books. It's all computers now, despite what Bill Gates says about we need to update the schools. These people still live perceptually in older environments because they have not gone through the rapid changes that the more advanced industrialized nations in the West have gone through.
So you would say that the immigrants and then...
They're going to replace the old people.
They would replace the old people.
For believing in the idea of government.
Right.
Of national government, because they cannot see the new environment. They know they're there. Their kids will be wearing the sports jerseys and hip-hopping and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know too much about this guy. I've seen him mention, you know, Ali G?
Yeah, Ali G.
He's apparently a confused guy who thinks he's hip-hop, but he's an Arab or something. You know, I'm not too familiar with the image, but he is very popular because he expresses exactly this, we'll call the Somali syndrome, of a guy trying to have a TV body or a chip body, but he does it very awkwardly compared to the hip Native Americans and blacks who grow up with this stuff for 30 years,
right.
They have a more instinctive way of knowing the snow around them. It's like an Eskimo can see 50 kinds of snow.
He takes that image and retards it, you know?
He plays off, and it looks like satire, but it's actually a documentary of what it's like for immigrants from all over the world coming here and trying to catch up to what they perceive dimly, the new snow.
Yes.
They can't see all the little particle difference like the Eskimo could.
Right.
Eskimo is the old term. Now they're called the Inuit up in Canada. But they can see 50 different kinds of snow. You go up there, you only just see one snow.
Yes.
So when you talk to your younger relatives, they know all the distinctions in the streets of different kinds of bands and different kinds of music.
Right.
But a Mexican or someone from Saudi Arabia comes over here, 15-year-old, it's just all snow, just one thing. And so when they try to at least put on their costumes, because they can see that's the costumes their peers are wearing, and they call it being an American, it's going to be a lot of comedy in that relationship.
Right. Now, is there anything that is, you know, how, you know, the 50s saw rock and roll as the devil and they really wanted to suppress it, et cetera? Is there anything valuable in tradition and nostalgia that doesn't want the change, or is that the basis of anything? Could we have what we have today without that kind of tradition and foundation?
Okay, you said something there that I do want to go into. What is the right wing? The right wing, as McLuhan predicted in his Playboy interview in 1969, he said, you're going to have a backlash from the lower classes of white populations in the United States because they still want to get the economic dream, or they did then, of the middle class. And they believe in the values of literacy. They want their kids to go to college and get educated. So you listen to Rush Limbaugh and those, and some of the other so-called right-wing talk shows, they have a lot of ads for literacy,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the old media.
Right.
And so the populations that worked, they were sort of lingering from the agricultural parts of the United States and semi-industrial. We're not part of the urban sophisticates of the North. They're the ones who funded the David Duke, the George Wallace worlds of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, what we call the far-right wing. But their values are about literacy. Now, the reason that meme takes over in the Republican and Democratic parties, it is the only meme that creates the illusion that there's a centralized government. So it was inevitable over the last 30 years that America would go fundamentalist and fall back on its basic meme, which is literacy. And the only people who were the audience for that were the semi-educated lower classes who never made it into the literate industrial world, say, prior to 1970 or 1965 or 1980, now or 1950.
That
now,
is...
the blacks are coming out of the ghettos, and they need access to the literate world, and that's a threat to the right, to the right-wing whites who are just getting there. In the late 60s, early 70s, and the whole literate environment is eroding anyways.
Right.
So you have the blacks fighting against the semi-literate blacks against the semi-literate whites, fighting as content, and it becomes the dominant issue in politics for the last 20 years, because politics can only deal with national literate issues.
Right.
And it has nothing to do, as that guy Frank writes about, why do the people in Kansas vote for things that undermine them? What he means is they're voting for literate identities, but not caring that the TV body and the chip body are taking away all their jobs and outsourcing it, because they only identify with that meme.
But I thought the government is more of the TV body, isn't that, JFK?
Its content is literacy.
Okay, it's content literacy, but...
But it's an image of stability. Because
okay.
On the chip body, you don't have any stable image. You're there interacting with all kinds of data. You're just your emails flooding you. You know, back 40 years, 30 years ago, you had a program, Ed Sullivan, you watched at a certain time. And so now you can't have stability because we're all inside the chip body, but you can have the television recycled as a meme of stability, and that's why Fox TV took over, because it harps on the meme of literacy and the idea of a nation and protecting ourselves against other nations. That is the only thing TV can be, since it's such an obsolete medium.
Mm.
You follow?
Yes.
And so every 4 years, the TV has a ritual. It says we're here to create a re-energized and re-charismatic image of centralized control, which is known as the White House, the president. And yet the president has very little impact in daily juggling of the four bodies by your average citizen. The more important people daily, the real presidents of imagery, not the literate White House, but the TV landscape and the chip body, but you just have to name a few. Katie Couric, Oprah Winfrey, mm-hmm. in the radio world, Rush Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are very important, stabilizing archetypes, and are the real government or mind control operation. Though it's not a threatening mind control, it's a memory. It's not even nostalgia.
Right.
It's a reminding people of the factors that led to us getting here.
Right. Right, 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 right. And so what is the currency then of the regurgitation? Like right now we are dividing ourselves. Who is this fight? How would you typify the fight between the Democrats and the Republicans? Even though they're both based on literacy, they're dividing us into red and blue. They're dividing us by this war. How is that represented in the four bodies?
Well, literacy has always been, as McLuhan laid out in his book Laws of Media and his previous books like Gutenberg Galaxy, it's always been a dialectical clash between two billiard balls. And so literate politics is based on left-right, Democrat, Republican.
Yeah.
The basic tweedledum tweedledee of arguing over something that they're underlyingly similar about, the similar thing is they're literate, but the literate medium makes people become opinionated because they read books, get information, they throw them at the other person.
Yeah.
And so it's a very limited way of interacting compared to more complex cultures, which are pre-literate and post-literate. Mm-hmm. Part of post-literate life is you got to be cool because you got to deal with all kinds of different people and all kinds of different media phenomena around you.
Right.
But literacy is real simple. It's you against me. I'm going to occupy the seat. You can't occupy the seat.
Oh.
So it always remains in that Tweedledum Tweedledee realm. All right?
Yes.
Now let's go into the present. The present is very interesting. We've had the chip body for 15 years, but the chip body had its identity crisis with Y2K in the sense that a lot of corporations in North America bought the computers, say, from 96 to 99 because they were told they had to get them redesigned because Y2K was going to collapse everybody in the number digital system, right?
Right.
With the wrong date turnover.
Right.
And nothing happened on Y2K day.
Right.
Which is interesting. K is the 11th letter. 2K, 211, is 22.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 22 factor in there, just throwing a little numerology for the Kabbalists out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, why 22? Why 2K? So nothing happened. That means the chip body was not a ground anymore. If it was a ground, it would have happened, and we would have been in trouble.
Oh, wow.
But it already kind of disappeared. And so what happens as we go into 2000? I call it we're in the post-information, post-media world. We're post-chip body, post-TV body, post-chemical body, and post-astral body. Now, these things don't disappear. In the hologramic, holopathic retrieval of their meme memories, just like we have the memory of the sun and the memory of the trees and the rivers, they keep showing up, right?
Yeah.
But we don't live in them anymore.
Right.
We dip in them every now and then, but we're living inside the media landscapes. So we recycle these old bodies, but we've moved into a weird zone where there's no communication anymore. And so the first communication ritual that was wiped out in 2000 was the presidential election.
Great. But
committee called the Supreme Court appointed the president.
Yeah.
Okay. The next communication breakdown is September 11th, where some guy supposedly in the cave bypassed the huge solar government satellite CIA NSA surveillance mechanism and Pentagon mechanism just walked in and knocked everything out, and there wasn't any coverage. There was no protection, no information defense system.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of a void where there was supposed to be some kind of communication going on, right?
Right.
And then we have a president. As Bush's image unfolds, he's a guy who celebrates that he doesn't read newspapers, doesn't watch TV, doesn't even finish his sentences, doesn't even bother to look intelligent. Because he knows that the hidden ground is non-communication. And so that makes him charismatic, because he's resonating with the ground that everybody's intuiting.
So, and also, isn't he resonating with that poor white population that is illiterate still, or wants literacy, and when they see that this person maybe isn't a graduated blue blood, you know, old money, there's a reflection for them.
Right, and it's not just, as it was in the Wallace days of the late 60s or 70s, white WASPs, say, or white Scottish or white Irish, the lower poor whites.
Right.
Now it's the whole world comes to America. His image is resonant for the Somalis, because
right,
they're just learning literacy. And here's a guy who's like them, just right, learning literacy. Therefore, he emphasizes the Bible, right? The ultimate literate archetype. That's why you have to be born-again Christian to be a president. You have to be.
Right.
Because you're hoiking up the primal printed book medium that began the United States.
Yes.
Anyways, what's interesting is you look at the word Bush. There's a great line in the prophetic book, Finnegan's Wake, where in a clash of many languages in that book, but one of the phrases that comes out of it is, are you feeling like you was lost in the Bush, boy? Now, that was written and published in 1939, written before that, but came out in 39. So here's this phrase at the beginning of the book. Are you feeling like you're lost in the Bush? What is the Bush? The Bush is the jungle of information of TV and chip body that we've been living for 30 years, okay?
Yeah.
A real intense information, what people call information overload. So we're lost in the Bush of information. And so isn't it interesting that a guy who becomes president in the post-information era, on the deepest, most avant-garde effects of the hidden ground right now,
yes,
is a man named Bush. And he comes on and acts like he's lost in the bush of information, but it's a put-on because he's actually out in the wilderness. He's off the information grid, and the image of the wilderness, a Paleolithic image where cavemen are beating each other, is the Middle East and Afghanistan. You got images out there of cavemen, all right?
Yes.
The desert. And that's where the burning bush is. Okay?
Yes.
So it's really interesting that the language that we come up with and the images that we vote for, or even that a committee assigned. I mean, the Supreme Court said that word gore ain't going to be a resonant image. We're in a post-Bush Bush world. We got a guy named Bush. He's president. He had the right name. Just like in advertising, your name and your face is way more powerful than whatever you have to say.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Remember
yes.
the Edsel? 50 years ago, collapsed. Maybe it was 45 years ago. Collapsed because it had a crummy name.
Yes.
The car, the Edsel.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, that's simple advertising knowledge. But we have, and that was the voodoo of names and facial images. Now we got the voodoo of whole environments. America is a hologram. It's a huge history
yes.
of all this media development, which I lay out on my chart,
yes.
the tiny note chart. And that is what people are swimming towards.
Yes.
And so, but the dumbing, what people call the dumbing down since, say, 2000, Survivor shows,
yeah.
whatever you want to call the symptoms of dumbing down. I mean, Dumber and Dumb and Dumber was a movie in about the middle 90s, right? So
right.
It was sneaking up. The Dumber and Dumber is not that people are not intelligent. They just aren't interested in matching with you on information media levels.
Mm-hmm.
They're into asserting themselves out in the wilderness.
Right.
Jackasses.
Right.
Bodies. Body abuse.
Right.
All
right.
This is basically saying that the chemical body is a ghetto. The Jackasses movies fad do that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Astro Body is a ghetto. That's what you hear on Art Bell and George Norrie, Coast to Coast nuts coming on talking about this alien, that alien. Not that there's no UFOs. We know there's UFOs, but the way people hallucinate.
Right.
You got Pamela Stonebrook goes on there claims she's got kids with the aliens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's better sex with them than her jazz. Combination that she plays with. Anyways, I know Pamela, so I'm joking. But
yeah,
true.
I know.
All I'm saying is true, but it ain't meant to insult her. I'm just giving the ground to why her image resonates.
Right.
Anyways, so the astro body is a ghetto. Then the TV body's a ghetto. Well, everybody knows that. That's all you get on TV. Yeah. Quark shows that last 3 weeks. Then they put another show on. But the main thing is you got Nicole Ann Smith, or whatever her name is. Ann Nicole Smith, you know, her son
right,
dies, gets
right,
murdered,
right.
whatever. But she was a phenomenon that for most people of different sensibilities, older sensibilities, they found her quite repugnant, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then where's the chip body becoming a ghetto? Well, it became a ghetto in the late 90s with the word spam.
Oh, and then it gets bombarded. So, okay.
Okay, so okay. Now in the post-war bodies, in the post-Bush world, off in the wilderness, you're out of the information jungle, and you're in the world of caveman reality, the image of ghetto there is the present news that people are blown up every day. 50 people a day blown up.
Wow.
It's the most primitive scenes you could ever imagine.
Yes.
But that's fed to you by the TV. There's also the murder of millions of people in the hospitals every year.
Yes.
In North America. There's murder going on all over the place. So the world is a ghetto. Well, that old famous song from 35 years ago. Now it's all four bodies are a ghetto.
Ouch. let me do a quick break, Bob. On the lines, Bob Dobbs. Website, www.fivebody.com. Fivebody.com. We just have to take a quick break. We're going to pick it up. Where were we? I don't know. Out in the wilderness somewhere.
911, because you got conferences going on all over the world, and you had one in L.A. in June.
Right. This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 up there in beautiful Santa Barbara. We'll be back in just a second.
Where the past and the future converge. Go to www.radioalchemy.com. RadioAlchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
on Alliance Love. Bob, he's back, and it is always fantastic. Oh, my gosh, Bob. Gosh.
I like that bumper music.
Yeah, it's great, right?
Where's that from?
That is my MP3 finder out there. I'll have to, like, go back and try and find the track for you, but that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, was it blurry? Is there a vocal happening in there?
No, it's just it is, but it's just distorted, and the verbiage is lost in distortion.
Okay, let's deal with the archetypal event of this decade, what's called the Naughty Knots, the 9-1-1.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people. What's his name? Charlie Sheen, and these people get very excited over the Vanity Fair doing an article on the conspiracy view of the 9-1-1 or the alternative conspiracy view to George Bush's conspiracy interpretation, right? Now, we know, and I've said this before, that there's a great line by McLuhan where he said, only puny secrets are discussed and argued over. The real secrets or the real discoveries are protected by public incredulity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it now seems, according to different news outlets, even the government, at some point, the Pentagon or somebody had to come out with some statement about conspiracy theories about 9-1-1, and they said, no, that's not true. I can't remember what it was.
About the towers.
Yeah, but there was one particular, was it about Flight 93 or something? Some government entity, NSIT, said something, said, no, that's not possible. Anyways, they were forced to deny the conspiracy wave.
Okay.
The alternative conspiracy. Now, here's the interesting thing. If more and more people are believing it, therefore it's a puny secret, because the big discoveries are protected by public incredulity. So let's find out what the public, the really important conspiracy is that people wouldn't believe. And I'm going to give it to you. Because the reason people think that there was demolition bombs in the towers or other kinds of weapons is that obviously from normal physical known principles, the buildings couldn't collapse that fast.
Right.
It couldn't have been done by that puny amount of fire. And the beams wouldn't melt it. You know, there's all the arguments that it couldn't have collapsed based on previous buildings' burnings the way it did.
Right.
So therefore, something must have been added to it.
Yes.
And so the typical American mind sticks in hardware causes. Extra bombs, extra planes, extra explosions, extra laser beams. All right?
Yes.
Now, what everybody misses because of the invisible environment is that for the first time in history, you had these icons of American technological chip body superiority. The two Twin Towers were like 0-1. They were skyscrapers of the digital landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Twin, 0-1, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These weird, strange, powerful buildings, their image. And they were impenetrable. They were indomitable. They represented some kind of global New World Order power. They called it the power of the American Empire, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens? They get hit. They get sucker punched.
Yeah.
And then everybody, the whole world, and we don't know how many people watched it on the internet or watched it on TV, but I tell you, billions of people watched it. And they watched it burn. And we don't know the effects of human consciousness bringing in the Sheldrake's morphogenetic effect, or as other people call it, the Isaiah factor. You bring in the mind melt of everybody watching that. And a large part of the audience ain't Americans, and they think it's great, at least subconsciously. We had willed these towers to be busted because we were sick of the New World Order through the 90s. A lot of the world didn't like the effects of globalization. So you have that rage, and you have that wonder, and you have that fascination, you have that love and worship of the towers, all concentrating for, 45 minutes? The humiliation factor for those towers was so intense that the buildings committed suicide. Now, some would say, well, that violates any kind of idea. That's total fantasy, Bob. No, it isn't. If you realize that we don't understand that when minds are looking at one dramatic image for a long time simultaneous, we don't know what that effect is. I know when there were fires in Malibu in 93 in L.A., a friend of mine would watch it, and the fires would die down, and the journalists would come on and say, hey, the fires are dying down. And then within 10 minutes, the fires would go back up. Because everybody was watching it, was fascinated. We think there's a division between us and matter. There isn't. And so the reason the buildings collapsed was not because of new hardware, it was because of the software effect of global consciousness looking at something and watching the drama, and the buildings themselves were so humiliated, they committed suicide.
Come on.
But... Now, I know that's hard to believe, but I'm on the right track because it's incredible.
Yeah,
and the
big
discoveries are always protected by public incredulity.
Yes. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it is enough that people are saying the explosives. And you have William Rodriguez at the bottom of the World Trade Center who had the first explosion happen below his feet before he heard the boom at the beginning top.
Yeah, yeah.
What you are saying, though, is that if there were explosives, could it be both? That if there were explosives in the building and also the humiliation of the buildings and everybody, in a sense, saying, wow, burn, baby, burn, could it be both?
How about this? If they finally accept that certain bombs blew off, then people are going to say, nah, those bombs weren't strong enough. They'll argue on that point. But let's bypass the bomb scenario. We don't know what went on in that building as a result of the global mind going at it. There
right.
could have been poppings out all over the place
right.
before it collapsed. And there also might have been effects from the heat that we don't know that actually did cause explosions, but they weren't bombs. They were just effects of the heat because there was that powerful effect
right.
of
right.
the fuel burning. But the thing is now I'm laying out this incredible scenario. Guess who came up with this?
Who?
The great student of Marshall McLuhan is Jean Baudrillard.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense that he would come to that.
That's right, because he wrote a famous essay in the 70s on the Twin Towers. It's like the best essay on explaining sociologically the image of the Twin Towers. So he's famous for that. So that was in the late 70s. So then 22 years later, his babies die. He's got to respond.
Right,
and he applied McLuhan, and he came up with a brilliant explanation. You can get it in one of his books. I think it's called The Spirit of Terrorism. He wrote it around 2002, 2003. And, of course, it was very controversial. And all the serious hardware people who know that's ridiculous that the mind could emanate and project through the electronic media and the chip body, focusing on the buildings. But what you have here, if it's true that the buildings were committed suicide, in the interval, since most people couldn't believe that, they'll fill in lots of scenarios of bombs going off.
Right.
And it is a popular scenario. Now, can you imagine me going to the 911 conference, and they just had one Labor Day weekend here in New York.
Yeah.
Everybody was there.
Yeah.
I come in the middle and say that. That's like David Duke going to a Nation of Islam meeting, right?
Yeah.
You're going into a meme that people want to believe, and they feel the need to believe it, or they know that's true from their framework.
Well, Bob, I think, you know what, at the very same time, I'm like, oh my God, that is like, that's pretty freaking out there. And I go out there. I do remember that there is some guy I'm trying to hunt down in Los Angeles, and I know we got to go, but hunt down in Los Angeles that talks about bringing a group of people together and focusing a particular energy and being able to bring crime down. And he has, you know, measures of that
right.
through, you know, that you can affect populations.
Did a lot on that.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Let me just say this as we end.
Okay,
this comes back to what we started with. They will never prove that it was the bombs, just like they will never get rid of nations. And the counter-conspiracy that says that there is bombs and there is a big conspiracy and the government did it,
right.
they will never go away.
Right.
They're
right.
two established memes. They're complementary. They energize each other, and
right.
they avoid the wisdom I'm giving.
Yes. Yes, fantastic. Bob, you know, we didn't get to talk about Tom Dobbs with the movie coming out, but we're going to talk about that and the and reverberations.
Another example of Zanarchy.
Yes.
SpongeBob was about me. Now you have a movie about a radio talk show host
who
becomes president.
Bob, darling, we have to run. I'm getting nailed. But we will definitely cover that and more and get you back much sooner than later, darling. So thank you so much again, Bob.
It's incredible.
Yes. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
All right. Website is www.fivebody.com. All right, loves. Sorry about the website. We've had our server go down. We're getting that puppy back up. Appreciate all of your support. Remember the fun drive, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com, and join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the Fringe.